is the Thursday afternoon, March 28th session of the Portland City Council. Carla, good afternoon. Please call the roll.
Good afternoon. Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Hardesty? Udaley? Wheeler?
Here. First, we'll hear from our legal counsel on the rules of decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Council Mayor. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless it's otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on, and when your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you are filming the proceedings, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Very good. Thank you. Carla, we have one item today, item number 273. Could you please read the item?
Proclaim March 31st to be Transgender Day of Visibility.
Colleagues, this next agenda item is an extremely important one, and I hope it's both powerful and joyous as well. I'll soon proclaim March 31st as Transgender Day of Visibility, an annual international event to celebrate trans people all around the globe, while also raising awareness of the real barriers that trans people face and how allies can help support the trans community. This is a community-driven proclamation and presentation. A gentle reminder, proclamations are for invited testimony only, but we appreciate everybody being here and showing their support for this important proclamation. A little housekeeping for this afternoon is, as requested by the community, restrooms on the second floor, that is this level here, are designated as all user-friendly, single-gender restrooms. Feel free to use any of the other restrooms on the first, third, or fourth floors of the building. At this point, I'm gonna turn it over to Seraphie Allen and Mickey Gillette from Basic Rights Oregon, who are the MCs for today's celebration. Welcome. Good afternoon. Afternoon. And happy birthday.
You stepped on my intro.
Oh, sorry.
Hello, Council. My name is Mickey Gillette, and I use she, her pronouns. I work at Basic Rights Oregon as the Major Gifts Officer. It's a pleasure and an honor for me to be here today as the city celebrates Transgender Day of Visibility. March 28th is my birthday, and I turned 47 today. As a child growing up, what little I heard about the transgender and binary people like myself taught me that we were objects of ridicule and scorn. We learned to hide who we were like a shameful secret. At that time, I couldn't have dreamed I'd be living the life I am today, and I certainly didn't dream that my city would be celebrating my trans siblings and myself. Trans Day of Visibility, or TDOV, was started 10 years ago today by Rachel Crandall of Michigan. Rachel was frustrated that the only well-known day associated with trans people was Trans Day of Remembrance, a vigil for people murdered in acts of anti-trans violence. So she founded TDOV as a counterbalance. For 10 years, people around the world have celebrated the accomplishments and victories of transgender people on this day, while also raising awareness of the struggles and dangers still faced by our community. Our visibility is our greatest strength. By living our lives out and openly, we can change our workplaces, our communities, and even the halls of power. We thank the city for joining in this movement.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, City Council. My name is Seraphie Allen, and I use she, her pronouns. Though I work as a policy advisor for Mayor Wheeler, today I want to stress my pride and humility as a member of the LGBTQ plus community and the privilege I have as a cis person helping to put this day on and to walk in City Hall every day. Over a year ago, Mickey and I first met through our involvement with the Harvey Milk Street project. A couple months after, Mickey reached out to see if our office was interested in doing something around Transgender Day of Visibility. From there, an assortment of community members and organizations, who I'll be sure to thank later, came together to put on this first ever celebration of Transgender Day of Visibility in Portland City Hall. Mickey and I will act as MCs for the afternoon to help us flow through this fabulous run of show. First up, we'll have a choir performance by Accord, and then we will share a video featuring a city employee. We also have a panel of amazing presenters who will share their experiences and expertise around housing and homelessness issues affecting our trans and non-binary community. And we'll also close out that piece with a video representing our youth voice who are also present today. Get a little extra. Lastly, the mayor will read the proclamation proclaiming March 31st as Transgender Day of Visibility. Thus, without further ado, I would like to introduce Accord. Accord is an a cappella group composed of transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming singers. Together, Accord and Transpose Community Choir form the nonprofit choral arts organization Transpose PDX. Commissioners and Mayor, would you mind joining us down in the audience so that the choir can perform to one audience?
You bet.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We're a long way from the best of times. When the world speaks, it rattles through me like an antique, or maybe it rings like an old bell, wishing us some kind of farewell. A wave in the window, a beacon, the batten down end of a season, lullaby blue in its true dust, shot in the heat of the summer, and truer than words, we're a long way from the best of times. Real thing, if we'll ring out, ringing and rolling. best of times. A long way from the best of the best of times.
Hello, everyone. We're a chord, an a cappella group composed of transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming musicians. Trans visibility is one of the core reasons this group was formed, and we are incredibly proud to showcase some of the immense talent that exists within this community. We had a lot of conversation about this performance among group members. While we have fought hard for progress and come a long way as a society towards safety and equality for all people, we are still a long way from the best of the best of times. We don't want the visibility of our successes to overshadow the urgency of the work that is yet to be done. But we also want to be unapologetically present for our community members to show that trans is beautiful, trans is powerful, and that someone is in their corner. We are grateful for the platform, and we are here to say to our city's leaders, you are not done yet. We need you to understand Portland's pressing issues like houselessness, immigration, and police brutality as trans issues, impacting us disproportionately and in ways that call for urgent and creative intervention. In declaring Trans Day of Visibility, you are making a commitment to ensuring the continued survival of our most marginalized trans community members. We need you to take that commitment seriously and value our lives every single day of the year. Our next song is called Tomorrow by Minor. It is to both celebrate successes and to prepare for longer, harder battles ahead of us. When we say that there will be better days, it is not a platitude, it is a rallying cry. We need to breathe this future into being.
There will be better days. There will be better days. There will be better days. There will be better days.
Let the
there will be better days.
Wash
there will be better days. There will be better days. There will be better days.
Let the
there will be better days.
Watch
there will be better days. There will be better days. There will be better days.
I am
there will be better days. There will be better days. There will be better days. There will be better days.
Let the
waves
wash
over. There will be better days. There will be better days.
Let the waves wash over.
There will be better days. There will be better days.
Let the waves
better days.
Let the wave wash over.
There will be better days.
Let the wave wash over.
There will be better days.
Wow, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Accord. That was beautiful. We are now extremely privileged to share a video featuring Jaden Dotson, who works in our Office of Management and Finance in the Human Revenue Division. Jaden has recently joined the city's LGBTQ+ and Friends Affinity Group leadership team, and has graciously shared his story, but I will let the video speak for itself.
I first felt something was different when I was in grade school. I was a big tomboy. My dad and my brother were out sunning, and I wanted to take off my shirt too, and I got in trouble and told, you can't do that, you're a girl. As I got older, I started to dress and drag, put on facial hair and go out to the nightclubs, and I started presenting myself how I was feeling. It was very liberating for me. When I first learned that transitioning was a possibility, I was very intrigued. I was like, this is me, this is the road that I need to go down. It was very exciting and very scary. The struggles that I had to deal with, mostly it was transitioning on the job. I was asked not to use the bathroom in my office because they were uncomfortable. So for a year, I used the bathroom downstairs. Visibility is important to me because if we're not visible, things won't change. We're people. We need to be treated as equals. The shooting happened in Orlando, and I was like, okay, I need to step up. It was right before Pride, and I literally, like, everyone was scared to march in that Pride that year. And I was like, I have to do this. And I was carrying my Totes Trans tote from the HRC that I got. And we started marching. As I was walking, I heard this lady say, "I see you." And I was like, "What?" And I turned around and she said it again. She said, "I see you." And that just filled my heart. Like, I can't even explain it. It was amazing. My hope for the future is that bathrooms are not an issue. Being trans is not an issue. Love. Lots of love.
So Jaden is somewhere around here. I'm not sure where, but right back there. So thank you, Jaden, for sharing that with us. We do not take lightly the willingness to share one's personal story and connect it to this day centered around visibility. I would now like to ask our panelists to come up, and we actually have the pleasure of having almost too many folks today, and so they're gonna come up in two groups. So first, can I have Michelle, Addie, Avi, and Eliza come on up to the table and present to us, and then we'll have two more.
Good afternoon, welcome. Thanks for being here again.
Absolutely. My name is Michelle Wright, and I am a formerly homeless and formerly incarcerated transgender woman. I am here today sharing my story in hopes that it will move you to ensure that Portland provides services, life-saving services, desperately needed by homeless, trans, and queer youth. I became homeless at the age of 16. At that young age, I did not understand how to access the limited resources that were available to me at the time. For the next 6 years, I tried to navigate the complex and confusing system of services available to homeless queer youth with very little positive results. Everything seemed intimidating, and the challenges I faced were numerous. I was trying to finish high school, go to college, begin my medical transition, and create a stable living situation, all without the help of family. In the midst of all this, I was raped. The trauma caused a downward spiral of hopelessness that led to drug addiction and my inevitable incarceration. I had always been afraid to access shelters because I was scared that I would be housed with men despite identifying as a woman. After being raped, I was so afraid of sleeping near other men that I didn't even try to stay in most shelters. I only trusted the shelter run by Outside In because I knew they would allow me to sleep in the women's shelter, which matched my gender identity. It often felt like I had nowhere to go. At the time, I needed support, such as a stable place to live, access to professionals who understood gender-affirming healthcare, like a therapist, a medical doctor, and a trauma-informed counselor. Without access to these critical services, and after years of being homeless, I wound up incarcerated like so many homeless trans and queer youth. And while this may not make sense to people who have not lived on the streets, I committed a crime as a cry for help. I desperately needed a roof over my head and getting sober. And help getting sober. My best thinking was to seek refuge in the criminal justice system. Looking back at my 22-year-old self, I realized how naive I was. What was supposed to be a petty crime, stealing $20 from the Kentucky Fried Chicken on 82nd and Powell, and a few months in jail, turned into a 70-month prison sentence, thanks to Measure 11 and mandatory minimums, and the cruelty of Measure 11 and mandatory minimums. While incarcerated, I was denied adequate medical care and housing. I was denied hormone replacement therapy and housed with men, despite being a woman. With the help of Basic Rights Oregon and the ACLU, I sued the Oregon Department of Corrections and won. During my time in prison, I learned to advocate for myself. Now, after my release, I feel it is my duty to advocate for those that are still afraid to use their voice. I hope that my story will encourage them to come out of the shadows and find their own voice. I thank you all for being here today and for letting me share my story with you. Thank you for supporting the Transgender Day of Visibility.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Why is Trans Day of Visibility important to me? I feel like not just me, but the community as well would know how hard it is truly to be yourself, regardless of how times have and are changing. But something like Trans Visibility Day will allow the majority of our community to take off the invisibility cloak and reveal the bright inner self. Even if it's just for a day, it will allow us to show others that are afraid to be their true self that yes, you're not alone, and yes, for once, our voice are being heard. Our elders and other activists that were afraid to have our voice, however, fought for us to express ourselves with freedom that they could only once dream. But they manifested for us to be that voice right now in this hall, letting not just our voice to be heard, but as a whole voice, as a unity. My name is Adeline Moonlight Vasquez, and I'm a proud true spirit with the label trans across my big round Indian face. And Trans Day of Visibility, it be super important to the community that are still afraid, ashamed, and suicidal from their true self, from the future of tomorrow to our knowledge-wise elders. That's why we should have a day to let our fellow community that are hiding out or et cetera. I'm colored, I am disabled, and I'm a proud trans to live out in the open as a person that bloomed in a black and white garden. Thank you.
Thank you, appreciate it.
My name is Elizabeth Esser. I'm representing the Sexual and Gender Minority Youth Resource Center. And the Trans Day of Visibility is important because it is an opportunity to foster empathy towards an understanding of a group of people that have long been oppressed. Homelessness in particular is Homelessness in particular has a disproportionate effect on the queer community. As a client receiving services from Outside In and other nonprofits, I've seen this firsthand. Family and friends, artists, students, pushed to the streets because of discrimination. We must offer understanding to these people who have been discriminated against and enact policy to address the systematic issues that relate to homelessness in specific regard to the trans community.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Avi, and I represent Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. People ask us why transgender or gender fluidity is important. It's important because we matter. We exist. I never heard of transgender or non-binary due to my family coming from a third world and having a religion that discriminates the person who I am today. I think it's important to have this day and this meeting because we are underlooked at, mocked, or killed just for being who we are. Transgender kids are also the most vulnerable because they are looked at as a freak due to today's society. We are to live our lives by what we are born as, society says, and we are to treat those who look different or whatever the case may be that they are sick. Visibility is important to me because it says that we are here and it's okay to be who you are and you don't have to apologize for it. This day is for us non-binary, trans, and two-spirited kids and adults to have the freedom to be who we want to be. We only have one special life and we should make the most of it. We live in a world where people are taught to hate the unknown, and because of one book that society has written thousands of times, we are the most targeted. It is important to have this day because with the so-called president that we have and is also his vice president, anything could happen. We are not alone. This day inspires us and gives us hope and strength to be who we are. Visibility also changes the attitude of society. It can destigmatize transgender identities and open people's minds. However, we need more than visibility. We need rights, protections, justice, and acceptance. We have our visibility now, but we also need action. Transgender communities does not deserve to be trivialized, but yet we face too many injustices to count. Visibility is also important, but action needs to be taking place. Please acknowledge this. Times are changing, and we are growing. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. Thank you for your excellent testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. distinguished representatives, thank you for your time today. My name is Aaron Waters. I'm a community health navigator for Kaiser Permanente. I'm also a member of the Q Center Board of Directors. I want to make clear that today I'm here as a subject matter expert and member of the community, not as a representative of Kaiser Permanente, and so any opinions I expressed aren't reflective of the organization. I will be short in stating that in no uncertain terms, housing is healthcare. In 2018, the World Health Organization defined social determinants of health as conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age. These circumstances are shaped by the distribution of money, power, and resources at the global, national, and local levels. These factors, which include housing, employment, access to food, and others, are critical components of both immediate and long-term healthcare outcomes. And time and again in our community, we hear from those who are desperate for accessible, affirming, and affordable housing options. Far too often, the same basic issues of access, which everyone must struggle with, are compounded by both covert and overt discrimination for those who occupy marginalized identities. And this is no less true for the transgender community, whose experiences with access, even in this very liberal city, can be typified by discrimination and minimalization. It also bears mentioning, as it always does, that intersecting identities, such as those who are Black or other persons of color, those who live with disabilities or in bodies that do not fit within culturally strict preferences, endure even less access in a rapidly and ever-gentrifying city where housing is getting further and further out of reach. This is beyond a simple statement of seriousness or necessity. After surgeries that can take weeks or months to recover, healthcare systems are faced with the very real prospect of having to discharge our most vulnerable patients into shelters, where access to care and a lack of ability to perform wound cleaning appropriately affect immediate surgical outcomes. There are places where discrimination from staff or other residents is still a factor, and the dire nature of the situation cannot be overstated in moments in which patients must be discharged into domestic violence or intimate partner violence situations, or into the overburdened systems helping others survive and escape those environments. And this includes young people who've had to turn to transition-related care and sometimes a desperate attempt to avert suicide, needing somewhere safe to go. The idea that transgender identities are somehow less worthy is reaffirmed on a daily basis down from the highest levels of the American government. We're choosing to side with our freedom to disrespect and exclude one another rings louder than our freedom to create a shared and civilized society with a place for everybody. If our neighbors have the freedom to say not just with their words but with their actions that the trans community is simply unwanted and therefore unwelcome, how are we supposed to find places where we can hang both our hearts and our hats without the city itself lending us a helping hand? As a community which to this day faces literal violence from those who would otherwise be called friend or neighbor, trans people absolutely deserve access to places that they can call home. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It might be impossible to follow that, but I'll do my best.
Please do. Your voice matters.
So my name is Zoe. I use she, her pronouns. I'm here both as a trans woman and also as someone who works locally at the largest shelter provider in town, Transition Projects. And both as a trans person and as someone with that expertise, I have to second and third and fourth every single thing that's been said about housing, the lack of housing here in Portland, as well as the way that trans people are treated both at transition projects and at providers across town. It is dismal, it needs changing. We have to do something. I am here to offer both that reminder as well as a potential glimmer of hope. Recently, the Department of Housing and Urban Development released a amount of money that was available to our continuum of care. Myself and other people put together a grant for trans and gender nonconforming people to receive permanent supportive housing, and we believe that we are the first project now in the country to be funded through HUD to serve trans adults with case management. But through this project, which we hope to have up and running, which better be up and running by July 1st, we hope to, on a yearly basis, house 17 trans individuals permanently, offer them rental assistance, offer them peer support, and offer them case management, all through working alongside other trans people employed at transition projects. Again, we do believe that Portland is now going to be home to a very unique project, but it is only 17 trans people who will be housed a year, and we desperately, desperately need more resources and more attention if we're really gonna make some progress here. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you, panelists. That was inspiring and amazing. We now actually are quite lucky. So before, we didn't know that we were going to get to be able to have our youth with us today. So on Monday, Aja, myself, and Adam went to SMRC, to the drop-in center, and got the privilege of being able to spend some time with some of the youth that were there. And Avi and Eliza were willing to also be on the video if they weren't sure they were going to be here today. So you get to see also a video representing them at SMRC, still talking about housing and homelessness. So whenever you're ready, Aja.
I'm Avi, I am 23 years old. I am a non-binary criminal justice student at Portland Community College.
My name is Eliza. I'm 22 years old. I suppose my realization of my queerness came in two stages. One, realizing I was bi, and then two, realizing I was trans. I was brought up in a Catholic household, so realizing I was bi at the age of about 15, 14, came with a lot of shame and a lot of internalized homophobia that I had to deal with.
I first realized I was gay at around 13. I came out to my family a few years after my mom passed, and my family kind of knew. It was kind of a good experience, also kind of bad experience coming out at so young and dealing with so much hate.
After coming out as trans, my family just refused to refer to me as like Eliza or using she and her pronouns, and that ultimately became quite a big part of like why I left home and became homeless.
I've been homeless off and on for about 3.5 years. Finding housing specifically for non-binary and transgender women is really hard, and transgender men too, because like sometimes we don't conform into one housing, we just want to be somewhere where we're safe.
The LGBT community, and I suppose trans people specifically, are disproportionately homeless. There's the issue with, you know, just families refuse to accept their trans family members, and that'll lead generally to like repression, homelessness, or suicide.
Visibility has been very important for anyone who identifies with the LGBT community.
When I think of Trans Day of Visibility, my mind immediately associates it with the sort of saying that, like, you know, the old-timey dude is like, yeah, this didn't exist back in my day, when it's just like, no, it did. People were just ashamed to be visible and open and transparent about their gender identities. So it's sort of the celebration of that change in our culture where people are less afraid to be out and to be open.
I try to live my life as I want to, you know, and I think the possibility of transitioning is really good, you know, and if anyone who has that possibility can take it, you know, because why be something you're not when you can be something that you want to be?
Promoting understanding and empathy through empathy, we get rid of bigotry and hatred.
Scared of the unknown. People don't know what this is, you know, and it's not an it or a thing, you know, it's an actual feeling that we have and that we can't control. So it's important that we say that we are here, that we are important, and that we matter, you know. That's why we have pride movements, that's why we have Trans Day of Remembrance, you know, because we lose so many people to suicide because of non-acceptance. So having this day of visibility makes us known.
We've heard today that our community faces many barriers, and not unlike other vulnerable populations in Portland, housing instability and homelessness is a life-threatening concern. We are asking today that the City Council support the development of a stakeholder group to examine and engage transgender community members in a process that will bring about recommendations to the City Council and County Board of Commissioners by the time we meet to celebrate Trans Day of Visibility next year. And we ask that you do not just take this one day to acknowledge our existence, but continue to weave it into the framework of your equity plans and make sure we are always included at the table for the issues that greatly affect our community.
Thank you. Thanks, Mickey. Appreciate it.
Now, commissioners and mayors, I want to give you a chance to respond to what you've heard today. But first, I'd like to give thanks to the people who have helped make this day possible. First, thank you to Seth from SMRC. Seth, will you raise your hand? For your tireless work with our youth, I felt incredibly honored to share in the space that you helped to create for them during the drop-in hours earlier this week. And thank you for continually reminding our group how we cannot leave out the youth voice and making sure that they could be represented today. And again, thank you to Jaden, Avi, and Eliza for your sharing in the stories in the video. Scotty Scott, which is the best name ever, from Multnomah County's Office of Diversity and Equity, for your measured and incredibly insightful perspective. You were a great connector and advisor and a crucial part in bringing people together for this day, not just from the well-known organizations, but also from the larger grassroots community in Portland. April Roman from the Joint Office of Homeless Services for your guidance and your help in this process. Karen Brooks from the Fire Department and Debbie Castleton from the Bureau of Environmental Services for ordering and handling all the lunch, and thank you as a thank you to the participants before this council hearing. Thank you to Adam Thompson from Mayor Wheeler's staff for producing such amazing videos. Thank you to Paige Smith from Q Center, Elena Medina from SMRC, and of course, Aja Blair from Mayor Wheeler's office. As a personal piece, I don't know how I could do this job without Aja. I've been lucky enough to be here for 2 years and 3 months in City Hall, and Aja has been one of the greatest gifts that I've been given in getting to work here. So I want to say that. And also, of course, I need to thank Mickey, for who this day would not be happening and would not be possible without. And your advocacy and leadership has been absolutely inspiring to me, so thank you. And happy birthday. Lastly, I want to give a moment to all the trans and gender non-binary people who could not come here today or have complicated feelings about this day being honored at City Hall. It is important to remember that our government systems have and continue to perpetrate much of the pain and suffering to the very people it is supposed to represent. And also that many people that do not feel safe being visible have very valid safety concerns. Thus, I want to make sure that we acknowledge the extra work that is needed to make sure that people who are wanting to participate could. And I like super would like to stress that in terms of bringing this day together, the amount of like concerns and feelings and things that people had to bring in order to just be able to feel safe in this space. Thus, Mayor and Commissioners, thank you for listening. If you'd like to make any comments or ask any questions, feel free to do so before the mayor reads the proclamation.
Thank you, Seraphie. Thank you, Mickey. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Seraphie. Thank you, Mickey. Thank you to each and every one of you who are here today to show support and to testify. Thank you to the choir. Oh, well, let's hear it again for the choir. In addition to all the people that Seraphie thanked, I want to say a particular thank you to Josie in the Portland Parks and Recreation, who has been very helpful to me in learning more, and to Mayor Sam Adams, who, when Commissioner Fish and I were both involved in requiring that the city's health insurance policy cover transitioning services and medical needs. And so that, it's been a while since then. And it's really great. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for putting this program on today and for each of us gathering to note how very, very important this work is. And I'm very, very grateful to each one of you who's here. Thank you.
Commissioner Fish.
Well, Amanda gave my speech, so, and probably better than I could, so. I will not repeat all the thank yous other than to say to Seraphie and Mickey, thank you very much for the work that you did and for emceeing this gathering. And Mayor, thank you for bringing this important resolution forward that you're gonna read in a moment. Seraphie mentioned Aja Blair and her experience with him. Well, I wanna make clear, Aja is just on loan to your office. It's a temporary gig, but I do have an Aja Blair story that I think is germane to this gathering and about how we learn from each other and we test our assumptions and we grow. Aja Blair now works for the mayor and does his scheduling. He previously had the same position in my office, but he decided to take a break from public service and he traveled the world and he did some very great adventures and then he came back. And just before he left on his great adventure, we did a retreat where my office sat down and said, let's plan out the next year. What are some things we should do? How should we prioritize our time? And Aja said, you know, I don't understand why the city has so many single stall, gender specific restrooms. The tide is turning nationally to all user, and I don't understand why the city doesn't take the lead. Well, we did a little research and we weren't sure either why we weren't. But what we were observing was that every time this issue came up in places like Houston and North Carolina and other parts, it was almost as if places just went crazy. And they had these civil wars over restrooms. And it became this huge politicized fight. So because we wanted to avoid the mistakes of other jurisdictions, we asked our friends at Basic Rights Oregon and SMRC and Disability Rights Oregon and all these various groups came together and we said, how can we do this? And by the way, in fairness, we were doing this now when Aja was off on his great adventure, but we wouldn't have been doing it had he not challenged us to do this. And we said, how do we move forward? And one of the most profound things that I remember from that experience was we got a lot of pushback in how we were about to frame this issue of all-user restrooms. And the pushback came because people with lived experience at the table, they were advocates, said, why are you making this about transgender rights? This is an example of where when you do the right thing, everybody wins. Why are you singling us out? When you extend rights to one group and do the right thing, everybody wins. So why don't you frame it as a win for the community, for a parent with a child, an older adult with an attendant, a transgender neighbor, yes, but let's bring everybody into the equation. And it was a very profound insight, and we ended up changing our entire strategy, the entire framing. With Commissioner Fritz's help, we promptly converted all single stall restrooms in the park system, which was over 600, to now all user, so that anybody can use them. We then challenged the business community to step up, and our friends at Yelp joined the team. I don't know if you know this, but Yelp actually advertises on their restaurant sites now whether there's an all-user restroom, because Yelp is of the belief that there is no reason that there should be a long line of some gender-specific restroom while another one's open. Why not make all single-stall restrooms open to everybody so everyone feels welcome? So we've made that change. The business community stepped up, and 1,000 restrooms in the first 6 months were converted. And then the council made another very important commitment, which was we said in the Portland building, which is the building under construction, I guess over here, the council said, we're going to have state-of-the-art, all-user, multi-stall restrooms, and we're going to lead the country in creating spaces which are safe and welcoming. So, you know, that's something to celebrate. At the same time, we required all city administrative documents to remove gender-specific language and all forms and documents, which is not specifically legally required. And that is a work in progress. So what did I learn? I learned that, of course, what everyone else has learned working with Aja is he's a gem who isn't just great at his day job, but brings a whole body of life experience to his work and helps all of us do better. I learned that when we engage the community in thinking about solving problems, what sometimes feel like civil rights issues end up becoming much broader, and that when we recognize that everybody wins when we advance the ball, everybody can claim victory, we can have more wins. That we should never say it's just for one group or another. We should explain to people that we're all better. Our community is better and stronger when we frame things and bring everybody under the tent. And I'm very proud that the city has taken this leadership role. And I expect that as we go forward and deepen the relationship which this gathering is helping to cement, that there'll be other ideas for things the city can do around homelessness. And I accept your challenge, Mickey. I'm sure a year from now we'll have a committee and some recommendations. But there's so much we can do together. And by having a convening like this that the mayor has made possible, we get to deepen relationships and begin to plan for the future. And along the way, people like me get to challenge their assumptions and think more deeply about issues that affect all. So I'm very grateful. And I'm grateful for the role that everyone in this room plays. And Mayor, I'm grateful to you for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to share a quote from Janet Mock. Many of you heard of this. Janet is a trans actress, a writer, and an activist. She said this, and I quote, "I believe that telling our stories, first to ourselves, then to one another, and then to the world, is in and of itself a revolutionary act. It's an act that can be met, therefore, with hostility, exclusion, and violence. It can also lead to love, understanding, transcendence, and community," unquote. Janet's quote explains accurately why I think it's important that hearing stories from trans people is something that we need to be overt about. We need to hear these stories. We need to share these stories with ourselves and amongst one another, and then with the world. And yes, sharing these stories, even here today in this chamber, is in of itself a revolutionary act. Today is first and foremost about visibility, and I want to recognize that visibility can be paradoxical in many ways. I want to recognize that in seeing you and in celebrating you here, in this visibility, it can also bring danger. I understand that visibility can make you vulnerable, and we know that there have been attacks in this community, both recently and over a long period of time. And I want to applaud the panel and the work group for being here in support of the positive power that visibility brings and for being a force against the negative implications that also come with visibility. I am more than supportive for the development of a stakeholder group, and I'm already looking forward to hearing the recommendations in the coming year. So, Mickey, thank you for not only highlighting it, but also having just the plain smarts and good acumen to actually go for that funding and be able to bring it back and make something of it. And that's my pledge to the community, is we'll do our part to make something of it. And if people are looking to be involved in this or any other aspect, please feel free to contact my staff. Serafie Allen is right here in front. Aja Blair is in the back. And I know they'll connect you to the right people at the right time in order to become more engaged in the process. I'd like to thank Serafie. I'd like to thank Aja, both for my work for my office for working to make this event this important and I think joyful event possible. I want to thank Adam, who just amazingly puts these videos together in record time. Those were two of the finer ones I think I've seen. And I have never had the opportunity to acknowledge my spouse in the chamber, Katrina. She was here with her friend, Mary. I ordinarily wouldn't call it out, except that I've been mayor for a little over 2 years, and it is the first time that she has been in the chamber with me. And I'm greatly appreciative of her being here. I also want to just correct the record. You know, one of the sort of negative things about being mayor of Portland is no matter what happens or who's responsible or who had the authority as mayor, you pretty much get blamed for all the bad stuff that happens. The flip side is sometimes you get the credit for things when credit is not actually due. And I want to emphasize that this celebration today, this day of visibility, did not happen because of me. It happened because the community brought it to our office and said, this is something that we should do together as a community. And so there were a lot of people in the community who worked really, really hard for months, many, many months, to make this a possibility. And I want to acknowledge that. We're all here today because the community brought us here together today. And I think that's one of the greatest things about this city. And thank you to Mickey Gillette from Basic Rights Oregon for celebrating your birthday in style with us here today. Elena Medina and Seth Johnson from the Sexual Minority Resource Center, Paige Smith from the Q Center, Scotty Scott from Multnomah County, April Roman from the Joint Office of Homeless Services, and Debbie Castleton from the Bureau of Environmental Services, and Karen Brooks from Portland Fire and Rescue. And I see a number of our other great public servants here in the audience today. So thank you all for being here, those of you who work with us here at the City of Portland. I want to give you a heartfelt thank you for sharing your stories, for being here today. We see you. We stand with you. Thank you. With that, I get the privilege of reading the proclamation. We actually have the main proclamation and lots of copies of the proclamation. What's a proclamation? A proclamation is the stated values of this council, and I, as mayor, have the privilege to read it on behalf of all of us. Whereas the City of Portland is committed to diversity, social justice, equity, and mutual affirmation as a core aspect of a healthy community. And whereas the presence and visibility of the transgender and gender nonconforming community enhances the vibrancy and diversity of the City of Portland's culture. And whereas in 2000, the Portland City Council voted unanimously to add gender identity to the city's 1991 Civil Rights Ordinance. And in 2012, the Portland City Council voted unanimously to provide transgender-related health care to city employees. And whereas Portland is honored to host annual events such as the Portland Trans Pride March and the PDX Trans Day of Remembrance. And whereas Portland recognizes that transgender women and femmes of color experience by far the greatest percentage of anti-LGBTQ discrimination and hate crimes. And whereas Transgender Day of Visibility offers all Portlanders the opportunity to reflect on the past successes and challenges of the transgender community and look to the future to continue to improve society so that all people can experience social and economic equality. Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2019 to be Transgender Day of Visibility in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this day. What we'll do is I will gavel this out, and then if we could come down front for a photo for posterity. We are adjourned.